Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. In the light of recent events which have unfolded before the eyes of the entire world, as the terrorist attacks against the United States have had such gripping impact, displayed on television and in newspapers and in magazines, in gripping detail of the carnage and the brutality that came forth against the United States of America, I want to talk to you today about perilous times. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." In the Amplified translation, it says, "Perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear." Certainly, the world has witnessed perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. The Bible has much to say about the end times or the last days, as it refers to that period of time when the end of the age is coming upon the world, where the culmination of all things that were prophetically spoken of by God in the written word of God, the Bible, are to come to pass. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, we find Jesus speaking to his disciples about the end of the age or the last days. Actually, let's start in verse 3, and it says, "Tell us when this will be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age." His disciples asked him, "Take care that no one misleads you," answered Jesus. "For many will come, assuming my name and saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will mislead many. And you are to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not alarmed, for such things must be, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise in arms against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, but all these are but like the earliest pangs of childbirth." I want to say to you today that I sincerely believe the events that have unfolded over the last several weeks are truly the earliest pains of childbirth, or the beginning of birth pangs. Jesus was telling us here, as he ministered to his disciples and as we have it recorded for our reading in Matthew chapter 24, that in these last days, you'll see nation rise in arms against nation. We are seeing that this very day. We are seeing wars and we are seeing rumors of wars. Truly, we have begun to experience these beginning of birth pangs. But what else does the Bible tell us with regard to these times that we live in? First of all, I want you to take note of verse 6 in Matthew 24, where Jesus tells his disciples that you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars, but his advice to them, and likewise his advice to us as believers, is see that you be not alarmed. See that you be not alarmed. Let me say this to you. It is our responsibility before the Lord to see that we be not alarmed, that we not fall into fear, that we not allow ourselves to come into the grip of fear that the world is experiencing at this time. In Psalm 46, we find these reassuring words, and it's a word to those who trust in God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. This scripture describes cataclysmic events, mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, waters roaring and being troubled, mountains shaking. It's cataclysmic, natural, and national events that this scripture describes. And yet, the word tells us that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is very present in these days of extreme trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. It is a choice that we have every day of our life to fear or to not fear. It's a choice that you make. Many people would say, no, fear just comes over me. We have a choice what we do with our mind, with our thought life, with our emotions. And we have the choice to will ourselves to resist fear. You can make the decision today, though the events of our day are alarming, though they are very real, though the end time unfolding that we are witnessing is very serious and it is very threatening to the natural order of things, and yet you and I can decide we will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. Do you battle fear today? God does not want you in the grip of fear, and it is vital for your survival, and it is vital for your victory that you learn how to stand against fear. Because as the end times, these last days progress, things will only increase in their difficulty, in their stress, in the pressures, in the fearful events that will take place. They will only increase. And yet Jesus told us, see that you be not alarmed. See to it that you do not allow yourself to become alarmed, fearful, in the grip of anxiety. How do you do that? Fear is identified in the Bible as a spirit. It is not a spirit from God. It is a spirit from the enemy of your soul, who knows very well that if he can get you to agree to be overcome by fear, your faith will not stand in the hour of stress and distress that's coming on the earth, because fear is the enemy of your faith. You must resist fear. You may have to speak to it out loud and say, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. And as you are being pressed with fearful thoughts and anxious thoughts and fear for your safety and fear for the safety of your children and fear when you get on an airplane, you're going to have to say, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. God is my refuge and my strength. God is my very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. That is God's will for you. He said to us, see that you be not alarmed. This is a vital word for our day. Times will only increase in their difficulty, in their pressure, in the stresses that we will see coming upon the earth. But you must learn now, before things get even worse, to stand in faith and in the strength of God and by the grace of God against your enemy, which is fear. In Isaiah chapter 8, we find some fascinating words that were written so long ago and yet apply so perfectly to our day. In verse 11, it says, for the Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me and warned and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people will call conspiracy, neither be in fear of what they fear. The Lord of hosts regard him as holy and honor his holy name by regarding him as your only hope of safety. and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, lest you offend him by your fear of man and your distrust of him. And he shall be a sanctuary, a sacred and indestructible asylum to those who reverently fear and trust in him." Here the Lord was speaking to the prophet Isaiah and saying and warning him, don't walk in the way of this people. In our day, people all around us who do not know God walk in fear, fear of terrorists, fear of bombs, fear of hijackers, fear of war. And the Lord said and instructed and warned me not to walk in the way of this people. And then it goes on in verse 12 to say, neither be in fear of what they fear. Jesus told his disciples, don't be afraid of the person who can kill the body. Be afraid of the one who can cast you into hell for eternity. So the Lord says in verse 13, let him be your fear. Let God be the only thing you fear. Let God be the only thing you dread, lest you offend him by your fear of man and your distrust of God. God doesn't want you fearing terrorists or hijackers or enemy armies more than you fear God. You distrust God and fear hijackers and terrorists, then you're not walking the way God wants you to. The Lord wants you to trust in him, that he is your refuge and your strength, that he is a very present help in trouble, that he is able to deliver you from every wicked attack of the enemy against you physically, spiritually, and any otherwise against your life. We are promised that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We must stand firmly upon the word of God and believe God more than we believe Satan's lies and his fearful whisperings to our soul. God wants you to see that you are not alarmed. And secondly, in these very perilous times that we live in, we are told in 2 Peter chapter 3, some fascinating words. In verse 3, it says, to begin with, you must know and understand this, that scoffers will come in the last days, who walk after their own fleshly desires, and say, where's the promise of his coming? For since the forefathers fell asleep, all things have continued exactly as they did from the beginning of creation. I'll stop there momentarily and say this. We live in a day when even though all the signs of the times are brutally evident and before the people's faces on television and in the news media of all types, people still will mock and scoff that these are not signs of the end of the age. They'll be scoffers and go, yeah, right. There's been wars before. There's been terrorists before. It'll go, it'll come and it'll go just as it has before. Everything's just the same. This is no sign that Jesus is coming back. There will be scoffers in the last days. There will be many people who will never come to the place where they agree with the word of God and where they see that God himself is having prophecy fulfilled in our very day. But nonetheless, the Lord goes on to say in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises, according to some people's conceptions of slowness, but he's long-suffering, extraordinarily patient towards you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. Do you know that it is not God's will that any person on this earth should perish? Not Saddam Hussein, not Osama bin Laden, not any terrorist who's threatening to blow up an airplane. It is not God's will that people perish eternally, that they go to hell. It is not his will. Not even the most evil person that you can conceptualize in your mind. God is not willing that any should perish, but instead that they should turn to repentance. It would be God's desire that Osama bin Laden turn to the Lord and find the truth of God's word and of his love and of his mercy and of his forgiveness and of the reality of who God is. For he's certainly under a strong delusion to ever imagine that God would call him and any other person to murder innocent people as if that were an assignment from God. Certainly that's a religious delusion that the man is under. And yet, though he has perhaps been responsible for the destruction of many, God still desires for him to repent and come to a place where Jesus can extend his grace, his forgiveness, and his salvation to the man. Don't fall into the trap where you become a hater of those whom God does not hate but loves. God loves every person he ever created, regardless of how far they've gone from God's will for their life. And until the time that they die, God is always willing to receive them back into his arms and forgive them of their sins. Reading on in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will vanish, pass away with a thunderous crash, and the material elements of the universe will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, what kind of person ought each of you to be? In the meanwhile, in consecrated and holy behavior, and devout and godly qualities, while you wait and earnestly long for the coming of the day of God." What kind of person should we be while we are waiting expectantly for the coming of the day of God? What kind of person should we be in the middle of these perilous times? Well, the Word gives us many important insights, and I want to share with you one specific one that we find in the book of Jude, who also addresses these last days. In verse 18, it says, "In the last days, in the end time, there will be scoffers who seek to gratify their own unholy desires, following after their own ungodly lusts. It is these who are setting up distinctions and causing divisions. But you, beloved," here's the instructions for walking through the end times. "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God." Two vital instructions for us as we walk through these last days, these end times. "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith and guard and keep yourselves in the love of God." It'll be vital for you to have your faith strong, where you can trust God in the middle of bombs going off, buildings collapsing, hijackers taking down airplanes. You must have your faith built up. In verse 20 of Jude, it says, "Build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." You will do this by praying in the Spirit. That's one way your faith is built up. The other way we know our faith is built up is through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more Word that you hear and hear and hear, the more your faith will be built up. The more that you meditate on scriptures like, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear." The more that you infuse your spirit with the Word of God, the more your faith will rise to the occasion where you can believe God to spare you from any disaster, to save you out of perilous situations, to cause you to overcome under any duress you may be experiencing. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. And secondly, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Why would God focus on the issue of love? We can understand why we'll need faith in the last days. Let me tell you why. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 12, that in the last days, because of the spread of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. Let me tell you, today we live in a time when lawlessness is abounding, when people think no thought or no problem with taking an airplane and using it as a guided missile to destroy thousands of people in a single incident, to murder people, innocent people. That's when lawlessness is abounding. And Jesus said that because of the spread of lawlessness in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. That means people who did have love or walked in love at one point will eventually become cold in their love. Why is that? We see it already displayed. People rising up and saying, murder people, murder the killers, murder the hijackers, bomb the country they're from, destroy them. Already a hardness of heart, a vengeance, a spirit of vengeance and revenge has started to take a grip of the people. God says, because of the spread of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. Do not allow the love God has spread abroad in your heart to become cold, where you do not have love and compassion and a heart of weeping over those who are victims and those who are the perpetrators. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants our love to move us to pray for those who are in the grip of Satan with hatred, as well as those who are in the grip as victims of the terrorists or hatred that we're seeing in the earth today. Do not allow your love to grow cold. God says, keep yourself in love. He warns us, guard yourself. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. A vital, important instruction for these last days for us as believers, that we build up our faith, but that we guard and we keep ourselves in love. Because if you are not walking in love toward every person, then you are not walking with God, because God is love. This is an important issue that we not overlook in our country, in the United States, or in any place where people have been victimized by terrorists, by people who have hatred. If you allow yourself to get into hatred, you have allowed the removal of the protection of God Himself over your own life, because you've allowed a spirit that is contrary to the Spirit of God, which is love, to enter your life. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. And then the last thing I want to bring to your attention, we find in the book of Daniel. And this is an important and an amazing story. Daniel, we know, was a prophet, and God gave Daniel tremendous revelation about future events. And when Daniel was receiving revelation from the Lord, God gave him visions and dreams of end time events that were horrifying, that were devastating, that were, you could say, scary to look at. And yet Daniel, after receiving these various visions and asking God for the meanings, had an interesting response. And let me share it with you from Daniel chapter 8. Now it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning, that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and I fell on my face. And he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the times of the end. And then he goes on to explain the vision that Daniel saw. And when that was all over with, the response of Daniel was very simple in verse 27. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Afterward, I arose and went about the king's business. The events of recent weeks have caused many to faint and be sick for days, grieving over the horror that has come upon the earth. And yet, like Daniel, we must arise and go about the king's business. God wants you to arise and go about the king's business. And the king's business is a business of love. It is a business of extending to people the truth of God's word and the opportunity for salvation. If you do not know the Lord, turn your heart to Him today. He will save you. He will deliver you. He will be your protection no matter what comes upon the earth. But you must give Him your heart. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you, see that you be not alarmed and go about the King's business.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.